for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 24th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on All Things for Christ.
Praise God. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us and anoint us, Lord. Mighty God, praise your name, Lord. We give you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, we want to hear from your throne today. Praise God. All through this camp, we want to hear from your throne. Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Title of this is All Things for Christ. I want to say this first. What I preach here, I preach at home, in the jail, or wherever we're at. I didn't come here to correct anything here. It's not my business. I don't want you to think that. So receive it. It's not pointed at necessarily to any of you, this camp, or anyone, but it's what I preach. And all things for Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul." Saul became Paul. "For the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted, let me back up. "The work whereunto I have called them." God calls us to things, and it starts out that way. And somewhere along the way, often it's changed into something else. And see what I'm saying? He calls us, and then we, through adding to, taking away, making our own decisions, it becomes often becomes something else. Sometimes very quickly. We have to keep focused on the work whereunto I have called you. The work I have called you. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. That's awesome, isn't it? Sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Not a committee. But the Holy Ghost. Sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Not the opinions of men. Not the desires of men. The instructions of men. But by the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that we can't come under authority. We should be under authority. But sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Departed to Caesarea, and from there we sailed to Cyprus. Now here we see a church doing so differently from what is called the church today. So differently. The leaders of this church were not ministering to the congregation, but they were ministering unto the Lord. Read it. It says it there. They ministered unto the Lord. What does this mean? It means that this church was Christ-centered rather than man-centered. Christ-centered rather than man-centered. This church came together to minister unto the Lord rather than to minister unto people. For this church, ministering to people was only a byproduct that came out of their ministering to Christ. Byproduct of that. You know, we can only give what we have. Peter said, "That such as I have, I give unto you." And we minister out of what God is doing in our heart. Now, this church was not based on man's need. Not based on man's need. Churches, ministries, I say churches, ministries, whether to one individual or if they're to thousands, are either needs-based or Christ-based. needs-based or Christ-based. And this is expressed through or exposed through what we use together, people. What we use together, then what our advertisements are. What we present at our gatherings, it's exposed, whether we're needs-based or Christ-based. Is it ourselves that we are presenting? Our wisdom, our enticing words of man's wisdom, our talents, our skills, our whatever. Is that what we're presenting, or are we presenting Christ? Now, so this church was not based on man's needs, but it was based upon the needs of the Lord. The needs of the Lord, what the Lord wanted. Is the Lord getting what He wants out of us? Is the Lord getting what He wants out of our ministries, our churches, our whatever we're doing? Is the Lord, are we concerned about what the Lord is getting, or are we concerned about what we're getting? Do we come to get, or do we come to give to the Lord? And so it was based upon the needs of the Lord, this church was. I tell you, when we begin to base our church upon the needs of man, what do they tell you? I know what they tell you. Find the need and fill it. Find the need in the community and fill it. That is what they teach. I know that. Find the need and meet it in the community. I could give you a lot of examples, but one pastor near me, he went to the school and asked, what do these kids need? And so they gave him backpacks and they gave him shoes. That's needs-based. Am I saying we should not bless people? No, I'm not saying that at all. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, you visited me, so forth. I was a stranger and you took me in. That's of all those, that's the one we have the big hang up on, you know. I was a stranger and you took me in. We have there at Peerless a ministry, we take people in. Just day before yesterday, I was driving along and got a call from Community Chest wanting us to take a man that had gotten out of prison. And you have to be careful that you don't let the community tell you what you're to do.
Amen.
You can't let the community decide what your ministry is. You don't go knocking door to door. I know this. They were going to start a new church in this area, and so they sent out people to canvass the community and ask them what they wanted in a church. I tell you, it's not about what they want in a church, it's what does the Lord want. It has to be what He wants. I heard another leader in our denomination, I couldn't believe it when he said, find out what kind of music your community wants and give it to them. Anyway, now, is it based on man's needs, or is it based upon the needs of the Lord? Isn't it interesting? We'll go to all that trouble to canvass the community and have our little pads and pencils and bring it back and put it into the computer, and the computer will... one time they were trying to... This is the way they were going to decide where a new church needed to be built. They were going to take the locations of the churches, feed it into computer, and it'd pop out and tell you where the new church needs to be. You know what? Are you going to be led by the computer or by the Holy Spirit? They just stand back and look at something. It's just so ridiculous. But what does the Lord, if we spend that time, Lord, what do you want? What are you wanting out of us? Not what we want out of you. But be careful saying your amens, because why are you sitting here this morning? Why am I here? What does the Lord want? I'll tell you this right off. He wants to recover His church for His Son. He wants to bring His church back to His Son. Because the church, and I say church, ministries, whatever, have become so many other things than that. So many other things. Just read their names when you pass by on their signs. Read the names on them. Family church. Well, what's that church about based on the family? If they're true to what they call it. New life, this, that, recovery church, whatever, is based on what? The needs or desires of man, not on what God wants. You can have a conference, you can have church service, and you can they'll offer this, they'll offer that, and here they come. If you're good, and did your homework and find out what, here they come. But you offer Christ and Christ alone, and they don't come. Are you hearing me? They don't come. People smart, they figured that out. So they have to bait people. It's called bait and switch, you know. Get them there, and then you try to give them Christ. But only enough, you know. Not too much, because you don't want to offend them and chase them off. Okay, so it's revealed by the fact, this church, that they ministered unto the Lord, not unto the needs of men. Now, not that they didn't. Not that they didn't feed people. Not that they didn't sell everything they had, make sure everybody had enough. Not talking about that particularly. But what does the Lord want? Again, what does He want? And the church must be Christ-based. If we believe that we're complete in Christ, that ought to be the basis upon which we do everything. If it's we're complete in Christ. If He is the answer. They used to say that. Used to see it on church, you know, signs. Christ is the answer. Been a long time since I've seen that one. Long time. It's like they're trying to hide His name or something. If we focus on our efforts, if we focus our efforts and attention upon Christ instead of on the needs of man, we see much more done for men than what we're seeing now. Matthew 6:31. Jesus said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Well, those are the basic needs of life, right? And you have to read all that context there. But for all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentiles meaning those outside of God. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now the problem here is the same problem with all Scripture. It can be twisted. It can be made to say or mean whatever people want it to say or mean. They'll even get into the Greek or the Hebrew, you know, and find some meaning or whatever. Go back in culture, these kind of things. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's His Son. Christ is made unto His righteousness. It is His Son. And so what the Lord is saying here is, seek me first, and all these things shall be added unto you. If in a church would seek Christ first, and what Christ wants, the needs would be met. They've got it reversed. Most of us have it reversed. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. If the church would come together to seek Christ, it would see its needs met. But what is the purpose for coming together? For the most part, it's to meet the needs of man. You meet their needs and put money in that offering. Yes, they will. They'll come. The problem with that is if the church down the road offers more, they'll be down there. Seeker-friendly churches, so to speak. In almost every church meeting, you have a group of people that have come together to have their needs met. They'll even get off into small groups, talk about what their needs are, so they can meet their needs can be met. People we've had people come there to Peerless Shiloh House seeking a ministry. In fact, a friend of my wife's from Florida called. He has a ministry there, and there's a man wanted to. He's looking for a place to go, And what he said, I'm looking for a ministry. Looking for a ministry. Well, it's what he's looking for. We got one word for him. Not here. Got all the ministry we want and need and what God has given us. We don't want you coming here ministering, having your own ministry inside this ministry. Walk in the kitchen, the dining room, and somebody's over there doing their thing, which is not what we're doing. Had enough of that. But people are looking for a ministry when they are to be looking for Christ. But they're not. They want to minister. What's that about? It's all about their self. Be seen, be heard, be noticed, make money, you know, whatever. Feel important, all these kind of things. Now, therefore the church, well, let me back up and say this. So you have the congregation seeking what they want. I want to feel better. I want to have more money. I want my kids to act right. I want a better job. I want a wife or a husband. I want whatever they want. And then you have the ministers. They're seeking what they want. See? And if they think that what they say would turn people off, they won't say it. They're controlled by the needs of people, the attitudes, the desires. Now, therefore, the church, whether it's two or three people, two or three, or thousands, is man-centered, not Christ-centered. They sit in the church building worried about tomorrow, expecting the worship leaders and the preachers to minister to their needs. And that is what you'll find week after week. I heard one preacher say that don't come here to minister, come here to be broken. Come here to be broken. We've had people there, and all I can tell you is they were never broken, never humbled themselves. People are tough. I'm telling you, people are tough. You wonder, what does it take for God to break these people? They're so tough. I'm not that tough. I say, Uncle, quicker, you know. Praise God. But it's all about what they want, you know. As if they were negotiating with God till they get what they want. Well, you just keep on negotiating and see how far you get. But somebody will tell you something you want to hear. So, week after week, month after month, year after year, this is what they want. But still, the church is anemic and barely making it. Barely making it. I had a friend call me. I've known him for many years. He's pastors of church, been there 26 years. He's gotten older. He's older than me. And his congregation's dwindled down to a handful of old people. Nothing wrong with old people.
Amen.
Praise God. But it's dwindled down. And if you're smart enough, you see, well, this, he has told me five people went to the nurse from his church, went to the nursing home in the last year. But if you don't get some replacements, you know where that's going. Some of them died preaching funerals, you know. Some of them too old to get out. You see where that's going. And he wanted, he was telling me that we got $200,000 in the bank. We've got our buildings paid for. Just built a new fellowship hall. We've got all this, but he said, I'm out of here. He sees it coming down around his ears, and he don't want to be the one that's there when it does. So you know what I'm saying. Get out while the getting's out. It's good. He said, you know, any preachers come here, can come here and save this thing. I don't know why they think it's the youth that can save it. We had one church that told us, I'm on the section committee, they said, don't ever send us a young minister again. Ever. All he did was tear it up. But praise God. Weak and anemic churches. I'm not talking about how much money they got in the bank. He was saying, he's telling me this, and I love the man, okay? I'll tell you this, years ago I went and ministered there. I got there and he said, now, if they're courteous enough to come, we're going to be courteous enough to let them out at 12 so they can get in line at the restaurant. That's what he told me. In other words, shut up, 12. I did. But the thing is, I was praying for people. And people were getting blessed. And I'd gone down through, he had a big congregation. I was going down through and I was praying for someone about halfway on this side. He gets up and dismisses in the middle. You know, he'd tell them to, he dismissed. Now that night, the Holy Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving. He kept getting up trying to dismiss them. They weren't even listening to him. Didn't want to. He finally gave up. You know what? He didn't want that. You understand what I was saying? You can understand he didn't. That's not what he wanted. And he was conscious of the people's needs. I wouldn't say getting in line at the restaurant's particularly a need. You know, go home and eat. Watch something. But put God first. Their focus is not biblical. It's not in order with the will of God. The meeting house is filled with people seeking something for themselves, not seeking to minister unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Paul speaking here, for there must be also heresies among your error among you, that they which are approved or genuine may be made manifest among you. Now, this people don't realize they're telling on themselves. People don't realize they're exposing what they are. And that's what he's saying here. There must be heresies so that the real people can be made known. And now, unless they're all blind leaders of the blind. Unless they all are. It's a sad thing when people have no clue to what's going on. No clue. Can't see, can't understand. They couldn't pick out a false prophet if their life depended on it. Especially if that false prophet said what they wanted to hear. Verse 20, when, however, you meet in one place, there is no eating the supper of the Lord. He's talking about what we call communion, the Lord's supper. For it is his own supper, the people's own supper, of which each of you is in a hurry to partake. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? In the house of God? Well, that's what he said. For it was from the Lord that I received the facts which in turn I handed on to you, how that the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed took some bread. After giving thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is about to be broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What is that saying, this do in remembrance of me? What is he saying this is to be happening in the house of God? I'm to be what you're there for. You do this in remembrance of me. That's what you're here for. Are we catching that? Yeah. It's for Christ, so that God can recover His Son in His church. It's for Christ. You do this in remembrance of me. I don't want you there doing things that people want you to do. But that's what they were doing. They turned this thing into a supper. And everybody's eating and shoving the other people out of the way, and some are getting drunk. And he said, you're not there for the right reason. In the same way, when the meal was over, he also took the cup. This cup, he said, is a new covenant of which my blood is a pledge. Do this every time that you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time that you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he returns. In other words, he's saying, proclaim me. In my house. Let it be Christ-based centered, not a man's needs centered. Whoever therefore in an unworthy manner eats the bread or drinks from the cup of the Lord sins against the body of Christ and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and having done that, then let him eat and drink from the cup. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment or damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body rightly. Don't even know what they're doing. Turn this whole thing, supposed to be a sacred remembrance of the Lord, putting Him first, and they're turning it into something else. Kind of reminds you of the Super Bowl Sunday. They're going to have big screen TV down in the fellowship hall. And they're going to have beer commercials on there. And they're going to have half naked, three-fourths, five-eighths naked women. I don't know. They're going to have that. But during halftime, they're going to shut it off and invite people to come to the Lord. Isn't that sweet? Got to do something to make it look legitimate, right? Just a big old party. I went to a convention conference of a very famous TV evangelist in Dallas where the Mavericks played basketball. I can't remember the name of the thing, but anyway, that's where it was. It's huge. And we went in there. I'd seen him years before, and I was impressed. We went this time, and they're selling popcorn, and you can eat buy beer out there in all those places. They're selling it. People come in there, their hamburgers and popcorn, and enjoy the show. And it was a show. It was a show. Not discerning the Lord's body rightly. This, I'm going to tell you what, God's going to get some people on this. He's not playing games with people. Making some mockery out of Him. That is why many among you are sickly, out of health, and why not a few die. Why? Because the church is anemic. There's no power there. No power. Why is there no power? Because they're not preaching Christ. They're giving people what they want. It's needs-based, not Christ-based. A church centered upon themselves. And that's why they're anemic and many are dying. Couldn't get somebody healed if they had to. Again, we see a church which is centered upon itself. The total weakness of the church, whether it's organized in a building they own or it's a small group meeting in someone's home. The people meeting in the home, where are the right ones? The ones meeting in the church, where are the right ones? You know, whatever. But some of it is just, we got to have an edge over the other people. We got to say something that they're not saying. We got to have an angle they don't have. You know, we got to have a prophet they don't have. We got to have a prophecy. We got to have something, you know. Praise God. I was preaching in Billings, Montana a little over a year ago. And on Saturday afternoon, they had Steve Quayle there. I don't know if any of you know who he is. And his bodyguard was there. And his daughter was there to take the money from the books. And I'm going to tell you what, when he got through this, so much fear in there, I had to preach after him. I didn't even know who the man was. But anyway, I had to preach after him. I said, oh God, this thing's dead. Is there anything can be done for this? He killed him. It was death. Scare tactics, you know. But he drew a crowd. I'm telling you, you can draw a crowd if you figure out how. But you present Christ, they ain't coming. Not unless God's calling them. Why are we going after somebody that God's not calling? So we can fill the seats. So that we can get the money. God's not stupid. Folks, God knows what's going on. And He's going to judge it. He's going to judge this whole church thing in this country. He's going to judge it. Well, I knew that. That's why we meet my home. He'll judge that too. Praise God. Well, whatever it is, but we see among them that the divorce rate is the same as it is in the world. Everything that's going on in the world is going on in the church. It's anemic. There's no power there. There's nothing there. People are not being set free for the most part. They're just being told it'll be okay. This is our counseling schedule right here. You know. They're not giving Christ His rightful place. That church at Antioch ministered unto the Lord. Church has become all about man when it must be all about Christ. People are going to church and doing whatever they do instead of going out to Christ. Going out to Christ. What do you go for? Do you go out to Christ or do you go to do whatever they're doing? People are going to church instead of going out to Christ. The church has become a business with its motto. As I mentioned earlier, find a need and meet it, rather than find Christ and minister Him. Minister unto Him and minister Him. I will say this, if you minister Christ, you're ministering unto Him. The church is not for man, but it's for Christ. Church is not for me or you, it's for Christ.
Amen.
It's His body. Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Him, Christ, and get this three-letter word, for Him. For Him. What does this created for Christ mean? It means that you and I were created for Christ. The church that He intends the church to be was created for Christ, not for man and his needs and for his entertainment. Until the church, and I'm going to tell you again, I'm not preaching. What I preach here, I preach it in the jail. In fact, last Tuesday night, I was preaching to them about tithes. Why not? Most of them didn't want those tithes. But you're dealing with a lot of people never seen the inside of a church. But there's one man in there older than me. He was a minister. One time I sat down. I didn't want to get in his business, but what are you doing here? Then you see the 17-year-olds. I'll go up to those 17-year-olds and say, what are you doing here? One of them, he just turned 18. I was sitting down talking to him. He was crying. He said, this is my third time to be in this jail. He just turned 18. Turned 18 while he's in the jail. He said, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. Praise God. There's a lot of times you and I said, I can't do this anymore, but we did it, and we're doing it. Because you can't, you know, no matter how determined you are. Now, I said some people are tough. I mean, they just, things just keep going down the drain, and they still will not humble themselves and cry out to God. My youngest son baled hay in the summer and cut firewood in the winter and did pretty good as long as it was hay to bale. It was raining. And as long as it didn't get warm, turn off warm, people quit buying firewood. Then you can figure out why. And he had two summers and two winters, some mild winters, and he's about to lose everything. He'd come, oh, Dad, I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. I said, cry out to God. I did not open my pocketbook. Cry out to God. I didn't have anything to give him anyway. Cry out to God. And then a little while ago, I said, cry out to God. I knew he wasn't. I didn't go peek in his room, bedroom. I knew he wasn't. Finally, he called me. He said, I got a job. He said, last night I prayed like I've never prayed before. And he said, this early this morning, man was knocking on my door asking me, did I want a job?
Lord.
And he's still working there. Moved up. Praise God. Cry out to God.
Amen.
Why are we doing everything else? So the doctor said, you're going to die. Cry out to God.
Right.
Praise God. Now, until the church or any gathering gets back to Christ, it will be irrelevant to this world and a failure in God's sight. I'm going to tell you what, the church looks foolish to this world right now. Ain't got no power. Nothing going on there. They're gimmicks. They're doing the same gimmicks, trying to, that they do out in the world. But we can't keep up with Hollywood because we don't have Hollywood's money. Trying to do what they're doing. Oh, look at all. We drive by on LBJ, that's 635 around Dallas. And there in Mesquite, one of the suburbs, there's this huge, huge theater complex. I mean, it's huge and it looks like a church. And you go by there, I don't care when you go by there, the parking lot's full. And I say, oh, what a revival they must be having in there. Well, the church leaders have looked at that and said, whoa, that's what we'll do. We'll have some dramas in the church. Some skits, some mimes. We'll play some clips from their faith. My wife went to a mega church in Florida for a while, and this summer they had some kind of movie thing, and each one of them, they have satellite churches, and each one would do a different movie theme, and the big one was doing Star Wars, And you could come dressed, you were to come dressed as your favorite character. I don't even know who they are, people. But anyway, you come dressed like that. They had a big set. They did, and this is how this is going to win people to Christ with this movie set. They looked at the world. That's how you do it. So they did it. And they lost the Lord somewhere along the way. Lost the Lord. Now, a failure in God's sight, both now and in eternity. You know what the Lord, our church is not big. But one time the Lord told me we had the biggest church in the area. I said, Lord, you got this wrong. But then he reminded me, he doesn't count like we count. He doesn't count heads. He counts hearts. You can have a little bitty church and be the biggest church in your area. Even you can be bigger than the one down there with 5,000 people playing games, calling it a church. Anyway, I'll get off that. Now, John 13:23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You know, that's John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to John that he should ask who it should be of whom Christ spoke. He just told him one of you is going to betray him. And they were all saying, is it I? You know, they had so little confidence that they thought it might be me. They said, is it I? Oh, I hope not. You know? And then John, leaning on Jesus' breast, said to him, Lord, who is it? They knew who could get an answer out of it. Who could get an answer out of the Lord? The one close to Him. The one closest to Him. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to seek God. You don't have time for His Word. You've got time for everything else. And you think you're going to get answers from God. That's why you have to go somewhere and a prophet tell you something. Because you won't spend the time to get close to God. One time I was young. Now, I didn't know better, okay? This is going to be my excuse. And I needed to have an answer from God. And I heard on the radio, I quit listening to that stuff, but I heard over in Dallas and Oak Cliff area, this had a prophet over there. Come and you will hear a word from God. I said, that's what I need. So I snuck over there, didn't tell anybody I was going there. I got there, and the place was packed, and it was a lot of people in there. And they were already doing, I thought he was preaching, but then I found out he's taking up money. If you got $500, God's got a word for you. You think nobody, and you had to give it to him before you get the word. Now, that went on a long time. Well, when he ran out of the $500 people, he reduced it down, kept on, down, down, down. Finally, got to $5. Now, I was tempted. But I didn't. Then he said, well, if you don't have any money, I'll give you a word. So I raised my hand. He came over there and gave me a word, and I'll tell you, not one thing he said ever happened. Not one thing. Anyway, so the one closest to him could hear from him. They knew to ask, get John to ask him. And Jesus answered John, here's the one. He's the one that I give the piece of bread to after I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after he ate the bread, Judas, Satan entered into him. Those are some sad words. Then said Jesus to him, what you do, do quickly. What you do, do. I've learned the principle there. We had a young man out there, and we had gone somewhere, under the bridge in Dallas. And while we're there, he got a job, and an older man, he needed to wait home, and one of the older gentlemen there said, well, I'll go get him. And under pressure, we had to hurry and go. I said, okay, you can go. Well, we were over there, and after 4.5 hours, they called and said, they hadn't come back yet. It only takes 15 minutes to get to town. They hadn't come back yet. Oops, something going on. Are y'all awake out there? You want me to? I'll help you stay awake. One time I was sitting in biology class in college, and I worked full time, drove 35 miles one way, and I was going full time. And back then you paid for it. There wasn't no loans, there wasn't anything. There wasn't no programs, and I'm sitting there fighting sleep. And I didn't have the excuse because I was old, because I wasn't. And she said, is that right, Mr. Pinson? I turned over. She said, don't sleep in my class. She meant it too. She's 70 years old, I think. I was 18 or 19. Outrun all of us. But you didn't sleep in her class. Praise God. You know there's a spirit that puts people to sleep. That's right. You go to pray and see what you do. You'll be snoring. I know my wife wakes me up. Why are you in here sleeping? Well, I was praying. Anyway. So, what you do, do quickly. And I got home, and this young man, he is acting. He had a truck there. We'd go and got it for him. It didn't have a battery. It wasn't registered. It wasn't inspected. And he wanted to leave. And some of them were trying to talk him out of leaving. You know what I did? I went over there and got a battery off another vehicle, put it on his truck, gave him some money, and said, go. And he said, well, why are you doing that? What you do, do quickly. Go get it. Watch out. He said, in Romans 1, he said, he'll give you over to it. He'll give you up to it, what you want. That scares me, folks. I don't want the Lord to tell me what you do, do quickly. That's not good news. But anyway, so he told him to do it. And no man at the table knew for what intent Jesus spoke this to him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had sent him by those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, what about this Judas? John 12:3, let's see something else about him. And Mary therefore took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Then said one of his disciples, who happens to be Judas Iscariot, who carries the money bag. He's the secretary treasurer. Simon's son, which betrayed him. Now this is before he did. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence or denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He saw all this money that could have been in his bag, that he could have went shopping with, and it was wasted on the Lord. Are you seeing this? I tell you, folks, when we worship Him, we're not wasting anything. The church is to be about Christ and not about our needs. And Judas thought he had some needs, and it was wasted on the Lord. I said, that is bold, isn't it? Wasting this time on the Lord, wasting this perfume on the Lord. Now we see two followers of Christ here. One following Christ for what he can get out of following the Lord, or out of going to church, or the conference, or one that follows the Lord, the other one so that she can give all she has to Him. Which are you? Did you come to give something to the Lord? Or did you come to get something from the Lord? Not that the Lord doesn't give, folks. Not that He doesn't save, that He doesn't heal, raise from the dead, whatever. But what is the process? Seek ye first Christ, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the process. That's the way this thing's supposed to go. But do we do it that way? Do we preach Christ, or do we preach and tell people how to get what they want? Do we give them motivational speeches? My oldest sister told me one time, I hope she's repented of that, she said, I refuse to go to a church that doesn't make me feel better. She said, I want to go somewhere where the message gets me ready for the week. How about getting you ready for heaven? Well, Philippians 1:15. Some indeed preach, this is Apostle Paul speaking, some indeed preach Christ even out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So you got both things. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Now not only do some go to church for selfish reasons and not for Christ, but some minister for selfish reasons, are unto themselves and not unto Christ. But at Antioch they ministered unto the Lord, They came together for the Lord, not for their own selfish reasons. They ministered unto the Lord, not for their selfish reasons. It's wrong, folks, to sing so you feel a tingle. It is. Oh, we got blessed tonight. You did. That's good. But did you seek Him? I'm going to tell you, you can play that music just right. You can say the right... I was watching one preacher on TV. And I don't want to go into details. But a very famous person in his congregation, they called him up there. He makes movies. And he prophesied to the pastor. Laid hands on the pastor. And he's going around over here. I'm sorry, I want to be careful about mocking him. But he went over here and he went over there. And all the time he's doing it, they got a cheerleader running around getting the people to, you know, keep this thing going, keep this thing going. Make you feel good. Cheerleader. Churches have cheerleaders, you know that? Well, they do. They have pep rallies. Cheerleaders. Get the people worked up. Hallelujah. Things are going to be better than they've ever been before. You're going to fly high. You're going to get rich. They'll tell you how. It's all about them. And so they can have private jets and live in a fine home off the back of widow women. Jesus talked about that. You steal their houses. Told those religious leaders. Anyway, so the Lord does want to save, to deliver, to set free, to heal, to bless. But the way to receive these things is to seek Christ first, and then all these things that we need will be added unto us. And if He's not adding it to you and you're doing what's right, then you don't need it. Notice when they preach, what they preach. Not doctrines of men, not prosperity, not motivational speeches, not entertainment, not Christ as your source of all your needs, but they preached Christ. They did not preach Christ as the genie in the lamp, or Santa Claus, or the benevolent one giving out gifts, but they preached the person of Christ. There's a difference in preaching what Christ can do for you and preaching Christ. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And people love to quote that. You probably maybe know it by heart. I do. This is another scripture that's usually quoted out of context, taken out of context, out of what's said. You know, it's amazing how many people claim scriptures that have no right to claim that scripture. They have no right to claim the blessing of that scripture, the position that that scripture talks about. It tells what we can get out of Christ, but not mentioning what we owe Christ. Now, in this context, Apostle Paul was telling these believers at Philippi that as they gave to the work of Christ, not to him, not to for him to be, it's actually for the needs of those starving back in Jerusalem. As they gave to Christ, then God would meet their needs out of His riches in Christ Jesus. That's what He's telling them. Oh, He's going to meet my needs. Well, what are you supposed to do so He can do that? Do we see here that the Father's riches are all bound up in Christ? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Two conditions: love God and be the called according to His purpose, not just a called. Notice it is His purpose, not our purpose. We are not God's purpose. I hate to inform you about that. If you think this thing centers around you, if you've been told that, or you're going somewhere that says that, it is not for our purpose. God's purpose is not us. Christ is His purpose. I'm going to show you that. Christ is His purpose. His reason. This whole plan of God never was about us. It is about His Son. It's about God calling the people out by His Holy Spirit to His Son. It's about God finding brothers for His Son and sisters. It's about God finding a bride for His Son, Christ Jesus. It's always been that from before the foundations of the world. It is that we are to be unto Him, not Him unto us. I want to give you these scriptures. Proverbs 6:14, "The Lord has made all things for Himself." John 1:3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." These are all talking about Christ. Romans 11:36, "For of Him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation, this is the maybe one of the most powerful ones here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when everything's wrapped up that God is planning, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. I'm going to tell you this morning, everything that God intends is going to come back to his Son. Everything is going to be gathered together in one person. It is his Son. Not me, not you.
Amen.
Not our little program or our ministry.
Amen.
It's all headed there. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 3:9, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What are we saying here? What is God's purpose? It is his Son. Colossians 1:13, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. This is talking about Christ, the image of the invisible God. In John 14, they ask, show us the Father, it suffices us. And Jesus said, how long have you seen me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Another scripture says he was the brightness and the express image of the Father. The exact image of the Father. Who is the image of the invisible God. You know what Jesus came for? To show us the Father in a human form. Himself. The firstborn of every creature. And by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. F-O-R. All things were created for him. Not for me, not for you, not for our ministry, not for the United States of America, not for the replacement Jews, not for it is for him. He is before all things, by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Don't you get up and hide him with your big self and your big ministry. I've heard people say, I'm just going to hide behind Christ. That is so phony. No, that, you know what they're really saying? Look at me, I'm this spiritual person. I got to tell this again. I preached for a pastor in Fort Worth. And he did things a little different. He had a big congregation. He said, well, who's going to sing tonight? He'd start naming off some people. The talent show. That's what I call it, for the talent show. And so he went, and the first one he asked, he said, Sister Stone, get us a song. She said, oh, not tonight. Oh, please get us a song. Well, not tonight. I don't know. Well, get us a song. Well, I don't. And then the people started chiming, oh, yeah, get us a song. And they carried on, and she just loved this. Oh, hallelujah, look at me. This is a... After a while, when she's smart enough to realize they're about to quit asking her, okay, I'll get a song. She gets up there and sings that song, my God, what a display of the flesh if I ever saw one. God doesn't like that. That's his house. He is to have the preeminence. Don't you dare get in there and try to have it. Or me. He might have the preeminence. For it pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You know, 3 John, the third epistle of John, John talked about that man in the church wanted the preeminence in the church. That it pleased the Father. Now, I'll tell you what pleases the Father better please me. That in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Do we get that right there? He's the head of it. Nothing else. He's head over everything. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the great United States of America, Russia, whoever. Hebrews 1:2, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Hebrews 2:10, He, Christ, made the worlds. For it became Him, or was fitting to Him, for whom are all things. F-O-R, for whom are A-L-L things. It's not about us, folks. It's about Him. He's not doing this for us. He's doing it for His Son. Do we understand that? We're not quite as important as we thought we were. In that sense. You're not the center of the universe. I'm not the center of the universe. I'm not to have the preeminence in anything. It's for Him. And I'll tell you what, anything that tries to get between that is out. You're going to deal with it ruthlessly. He's not going to allow anybody to try to shine brighter than His Son. There's a guy tried to do that. His name was Lucifer. I hope I don't sound too hard. Excuse me if I do. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And so we're beginning to see where we come into this thing here. Well, where do I fit in it? We're beginning to see in bringing many sons to glory. 1 Peter 3:22, who is going into heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him, Christ. Christ is the only one that has ascended. The only one. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Praise God. What is God's purpose? The called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? It's His Son. We're called His Son. John 6:24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there on the other side, you have to read this whole chapter, He fed the thousands. Neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came. Some of them actually ran around the shore and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Seeking for Jesus, like some would seek for their lucky charm. We came on the way down there yesterday afternoon. We left out of Sulphur Springs and we went by First Cafeteria. The line was down the road trying to get in there. Seeking for Jesus, seeking for turkey dinner and furs. Well, that's what they were doing. The same thing. Except Jesus wasn't charging them. And so, when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, Rabbi, when did you come here? They knew He didn't get in a boat. That's another thing. But Jesus answered them truly. You know how He got there? He walked on the water and then He got into their boat in the storm. I say to you, you are seeking Me not because you saw signs, not because you want your heart changed, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for on Him God the Father has set His seal. It's very important. Very important. On Him, Christ Jesus, God the Father has set His seal. God has not set His seal upon any other thing or person. Matthew 3:17, and behold a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He has never said that about anybody else, ever. Matthew 17:5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, while He yet spoke, Christ spoke, behold, that was Peter. We're going to build three tabernacles. Didn't know what He's talking about, but behold, a bright cloud, not a dark, gloomy cloud, but a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, that's the Father, which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear you Him. Never said that about anybody else. 2 Peter 1:17, because God has set His seal on His Son. For He, and you know what, who seals us? The Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:17, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Christ is the only one that's ever pleased the Father. And so He's the only one that has or will ever ascend into heaven. Now hang on, in case you get thinking I'm crazy here. Will ever ascend into heaven. Therefore, only those who are in the image of Christ will ever enter heaven. The only thing going to heaven is the image of Christ. It's not me, not what I am, not what you are. The only thing going to heaven is the image of Christ.
Right.
Romans 8:29. Now, we like to read and quote Romans 8:20. All things work together for good. Most people stop right there. Oh, hallelujah. Motor blew up my truck. I'll probably get a new truck. No, you might be walking. That's right. Because the good, here's what the good is. And only for those who are called according to His purpose, which is Christ. Which is Christ. We'll see that in this verse. For whom He did foreknow God, He also did predestinate, ordain, determined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that's the image person of the Lord Christ, are being changed, transformed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What is the purpose of God? What has He preordained us to? Well, He wants me to live in a fine home and drive fine cars and dress real good and eat good. Ephesians 4:15, I'll tell you what, there are people who lived in caves and made heaven. Read the last part of Hebrews 11. The first part's all these glorious stories. The last part said they didn't accept deliverance. They lived in caves. They were sawed in half. They were set on fire. All these things. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, that's Christ, in all things. How are we doing with that? Well, y'all know what Lady Liberty, she's got a blindfold, she's got these scales. And somehow people think, as long as I pile up more over here on the good side than I have on the bad side, I'll be okay. No, He said all things. All things. Does that bother you? It bothers me. All things. All things. That's impossible. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't say that. Maybe we say that because we don't want to give up some things. But, all of us, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the stature, that's the maturity or image of the fullness of Christ. Why is it that we must be conformed? Change, transform. Why must Christ be formed in us? Why do we need to grow up in Christ in all things? Why do we need to come into the measure of the image of the fullness of Christ? Why? Well, we're altogether different from Him. That's why. And what we are will never make heaven. What we are will never enter the kingdom of God. Come on, folks, now. What we are. Oh my, we need to live a life of repentance. We heard that last night. We need to live a life of repentance. Why? Weren't we all created in the image of God? The image of God is Christ. You see me, you see the Father. Weren't we all created in the image of Christ? Why do we need to be changed in the image of Christ? Well, I want to tell you what. We weren't all created in His image. One man was. His name was Adam. His name was Adam. He said, let us, that's more than one, say that to the oneness people, let us make man in our image, not in our form. No man has seen God and lived. We're not talking about form. Now, he said, God told him, in the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. They didn't die physically. Their form was not altered. Now, the serpent's form was altered and he was made to crawl on the earth. Whatever he was before, now he's going to crawl. What happened? What died? It was the image of God. Being created in the image of God is the ability to communicate with God, to fellowship with God. Oh my God. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. I'll communicate with him. I'll fellowship with him. He wants that. That's His desire. But there's a problem. We lost the image of God, the ability to communicate with Him. That's why we must come back into the image of Christ. We have to come back to He has to be formed in us. We have to grow up in Him to all things. There's a lot of work to be done on us, folks. And we're running around, oh, I hurt right here, oh God, and I need that, and I need this, and we make the church need-based so people will come. When it needs to be Christ-centered, Christ-based, and people find Him, they'll find what they need if they really need it. That's what I'm trying to say. What God wants me to say. Adam lost everything through his disobedience and sin. Now we must be brought back to the image of Christ that was intended for all the descendants of Adam, but which was lost through Adam's sin. Hebrews 2:10, for it was fitting that He, Christ, for whom and by whom, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I told you the only thing going to heaven, the only thing ascending is Christ, are those that are in the image of Christ, the sons of God. The ones that He's brought into, Christ has brought into that family in His image. Oh, please. You know, I hear this. Make a profession of Christ. Confess Christ. Repeat this prayer to me. You're in. No, you're not in. Let me say this. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. If those people prayed that prayer just to get out of going to hell, but they did, it wasn't meaning that they wanted to change, He didn't hear that prayer. Amen. And you'll know it because the next day they'll still be doing what they were doing. If they even show up. One time I was called over to Greenville. I was pastoring Cattle Mills. I went over there and they wanted me to pray for this young couple. And I prayed for them, and you never heard the crying and the, oh my, I thought in my little old young heart, oh, they'll be in church Sunday. They'll always come to church. They never showed up. Never showed up. They'll tell me in jail, Brother Benson, as soon as I get out of here, I'll be at your church. Or they'll write me. Never see them. Never see them. If you do see them, it's because they want something. And it ain't Christ. Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Are we getting this here? It's for Him. 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. I read that one earlier, I think. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus. John 11:52, that also He should gather together in one Christ the children of God that were scattered abroad. We're going to be gathered together in Christ. We're coming out of this world unto Christ. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not because somebody told you you were saved. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. There was a young man in the jail, a tall, young black man, that's a friend of mine. And he's back in jail, and he's back there again. But anyway, I could tell you why, but he didn't go through with it. But he got put in solitary. And they call it segregation now. It sounds better. He was mad. He was angry because he didn't think he did anything wrong. Well, while he's in there just seething, he looked down and saw this book I wrote, this one that back there, Overcoming Sin, and How to Get Deliverance from Sin. And he read it. And he read it through almost twice before they let him out. So the next meeting, we were sitting there. We weren't in charge then. But he's sitting there, and he said, I got something to say. He got up, and he said, I read that book, and I got saved. Well, he'd been baptized by those Baptists, you know. And one of them, he got angry, one of the preachers. What do you mean you got saved? You're already saved, you know. Well, by their standard, because he got dumped in water, I guess. But he really found God. He found God, praise God. Nobody had to tell him he is saved. He had a witness of the Spirit now. If you're wondering if you're saved or not, you're not saved. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. Well, I just give up. Well, give up. That's kind of stupid. What other choice do you have? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We come His way or we don't come. This ain't something you draw out or I draw out or figure up. You know, it's His way or the highway. No way. Praise God, isn't it? Come on now, isn't it? Let's get real about this. Quit designing your own plan of salvation. Quit writing your own Bible. Making up your own doctrine. You know, if you do it good enough, the devil will take it and sell it. That's right. He'll sell it for you. It'll work for him. Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm going to quit here in a minute. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's how you do it. That's how you become a child. You've got to come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. Well, I don't know about that. Find an easier way. Make a profession of faith. Confess Christ. The devils do that. Do you know that? They believe in Him and they tremble. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. I tell you, if the world knows you, then you don't know God. That word know means like approve of. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with Him in glory. If He's not your life, you're not going to be with Him in glory. All right, praise God. I believe that's enough. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard. You know, in John 6... some people didn't like what Jesus said, what it was going to take. He said, you're going to have to eat my flesh, drink my blood, but you have no part with me. They didn't like that. So why didn't they like? Same principle. They said, we won't have this man to rule over us. Same thing. I'm going to be my own boss. I'll make my own decisions. I'll go where I want to go. You know, the Lord told Peter that there in the last chapter of John. Said, you're young, you did what you wanted to, and you're old, somebody's going to take you, and they're going to decide. And he said this, he signified by what way he would die. And Peter got all upset about it. He said, well, what about John? He said, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Are you really following him this morning? Are you just seeking what you need, what you want? Are you giving the Lord what he wants, or are you just trying to get what you want? Well, sometimes we make the Lord some promises. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. He's not even paying attention to that stuff. It's His way or no way. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They were following Him and they didn't like what He said. It said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And then it says they went back, many of them went back and followed Him no more. They didn't like what He said. They wanted to add Jesus to what they were. Just add. They did not want to become what He was. They didn't want Him to have rulership over them. How about you this morning? You come for deliverance. You want the Lord to get something out of your life, but are you willing to follow Him? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow Him. Are you willing to exchange your life for His life? Are you willing to quit being in charge and let Him be in charge? Even in small matters, folks. Even in small matters. It's all or none. I'm not saying that we don't have problems sometimes in overcoming things. But our heart's toward overcoming. And we're waiting, by faith, we're waiting for righteousness. We believe in God that we can overcome those things. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone who wants prayer this morning, if you'll come and stand, we'll pray for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just one prayer. Prayer for whatever. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I believe God will talk to you this morning. If you come, praise God. Come and make a commitment to Him that you haven't made, or a commitment that you made you didn't keep. He's a merciful God. He's very merciful on this side of eternity. He's very merciful. This side of your life, very merciful. Praise God. But that will come to an end, my friend. It'll come to an end. You don't know when, and I don't know when. Praise God. Praise God, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.